Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 10th of May, recording at 9:11 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights. Stock markets mostly weaker in here today, although China pushed further into new high ground. Very much overstretched, though. European markets all closing down, it appears. And Wall Street, this is probably the most important action, was hit fairly hard. Dow down nearly 148 points. That's 1.11%. S&P down 21 at 1.4%. And the NASDAQ comp down 42 at 1.65%. That's produced some small downward dynamics on the charts after what was a splendid run on the upside. And government bonds, mostly quiet, modest gains, except for gilts. The U.S. dollar, this slight technical rally, has continued in here today. And the dollar index, for instance, has crept up to 82 and a quarter. And crude oil, that was stronger. And gasoline, but not much, 61.89, up 34 cents. But gasoline really surged, up 9.21 to 232.30. That's another breakout on the charts. That's a spot position. And precious metals, weak day in here. They were down a little bit early on, gradually eroded, gathered pace on the sell-off, then bounced during the day, regained most of the losses, but then moved back down to extend them overall. So we're trading after hours here with silver down 33 at 1314 on the July contract. Gold bullion down 1430 as I speak. That's at 666.25. That's a big downward move relative to the quiet ranging we'd seen recently. Platinum down 21 in here today. That's been about the steadiest of late. And industrial metals were mostly a little bit easier, except for nickel, which closed on the 3 months price right at 50,000 even, that psychological level, which has been giving it a little bit of trouble recently in the last couple of months. And in the soft commodities, the white sugar contract, London Sugar, continued its rally up four in here today. The softs were mostly up a little bit. The notable exception was corn, which broke some lateral support, I believe. I just want to make sure I'm right on that. So N7, hold on just a second. Apologies to those of you who are not interested in something. No, it hasn't done it, but it's not far away. It's testing it. And it's down 14 in here today. Okay, so what's going on overall? Well, I think that there's quite clear evidence that a number of stock markets, after a very good push on the upside, commencing in about the second week in March, and they have mostly ranged steadily higher, that a number of these markets have been losing upward momentum in recent days. You've seen some of the charts, and today's action on Wall Street, this just suggests to me that we're getting the reaction and consolidation. I think the somewhat larger reactions that I've talked about, and in yesterday's analysis, again, I repeated that while expressing some additional concerns about equities. But it does look to me as if, as I say, we have certainly commenced another somewhat larger or longer ranging reaction. Now, I've mentioned on almost a daily basis, but I know not everybody hears the audios every day, but I mentioned on almost a daily basis that I did not expect a mini meltdown similar to what we saw at the end of February and the beginning of March. Instead, I thought that we were quite likely to see a slower reaction and a fair amount of ranging overall. And that's what I expect. Now, that will cause some anxiety among investors. Any downward move does, not least because even though it might be a ranging reaction, prices often fall more rapidly than they rise. But I actually think it would be healthy, given one or two provisos. I think it would be healthy because markets had become overextended. Now, you'll see this again, if you haven't already, when I post tomorrow a number of weekly charts with the 200-day moving averages. But they had pulled well up and away from those moving averages. I think I last posted some of those charts over a week ago, and you could see the action then. They were pulling up and away, and well, they extended those moves on the upside. So it would actually be healthy to see ranging reactions that took most indices back closer to their rising 200-day moving averages. Now, that's provided we don't get sustained breaks beneath those moving averages, but, you know, I don't think we will. I worry more about China than anything else because of its upward acceleration and the bubble characteristics. Really, in terms of what the long-dated government bonds are doing, that doesn't seem to be a big catalyst for a major breakdown. We also do not have an oil price that's causing problems. The oil's not cheap, but it's not pushing up that much. Gasoline is. That has to be acknowledged. Probably that will ease somewhat when the refiners that have been down for repairs in the United States come back online and increase the supply. But again, energy is not a big problem here right now. The dollar is not a big problem here right now. But we do have the higher creep of short-term interest rates. And that certainly is a headwind for stock markets. It's always a headwind for stock markets. Is it enough to trigger a bear market at this stage? I don't think so. As I've said on so many occasions, is it enough to trigger another ranging reaction? Absolutely. Absolutely it is. And also, mentioning some of the signs that would cause problems, food price inflation, we're not getting surging prices. Here we had some earlier on in the year. We had some strength, but these commodities have been, as many have been in retreat, more have been in retreat than have been moving up among the agricultural commodities. That is not the industrial metals which have been so strong. So again, I'm not looking for more than a ranging reaction at this stage. And I think that could well check these upward trends for a number of weeks, and as I say, that would be healthy. Okay, government bonds, I expect yields to move up at some point, but possibly not while the concerns persist over the strength of the U.S. economy. And in terms of the U.S. dollar, I think we are due for a bit of a technical rally. It was short-term overstretched on the downside. It did get back to some prior support levels on the U.S. dollar index. But I don't see much more than a technical rally, partly because the interest rates are not going to go up in the U.S. I don't think they're going to go down either, unless I have underestimated the vulnerability of the U.S. stock market. If the U.S. stock market were to be quite weak, then I think that that would hasten the next interest rate cut in the U.S. But that background, not to mention the U.S.'s other economic problems, the slower growth, the deficits, and with U.S. rates on hold and edging upwards in the other major currencies, that would argue for some additional dollar weakness. That's the script at any rate, and I'll take my cue from the charts, and at this stage it still just looks like a technical rally. Now, in terms of precious metals, a disappointing day in here today. They have been ranging. The gold has not been performing against other currencies, as you know. Interest rates do remain a headwind here overall. I had felt earlier on that perhaps there was a little bit of drift away from some of the ETFs. Gold is primarily an investment metal these days, so a little drift away from, well, if it wasn't always, a little drift away from the ETFs, because stock markets were doing quite well, but against today's weakness in here, gold certainly eased further overall. There's a lot of chart support, so I'm trying not to be too fussed about it. When you look at the weekly charts, then you see that big buildup of support that I have talked about so often, which does suggest to me that this is going to go higher in here. But we've seen a little break of support in here today, opening the door for a test of some of that underlying trading, a little break of initial support. So still on the defensive, these markets, particularly gold and silver. Platinum has been steadier overall. Industrial metals, well, if we get a general weakening of markets, they'll come down as well, but they have held up amazingly well. As I say, nickel back up to this 50,000 psychological level. Crude oil price, I think that we're unlikely to see it go much lower in here, but I don't expect any spikes. That would require some sort of major production disruption. I think it's more of a ranging recovery for this industrial commodity. And with the agricultural commodities, aside from some technical rallies from very, very oversold levels, it does require, I think, crop damage, as I've mentioned on many occasions, to really revive agricultural commodity price inflation. Now, my long-term view that we are in a cycle of gradually rising inflationary pressures in rolling waves, not on any sort of exponential basis. But I wouldn't be at all surprised if the inflation pressures don't ease a little bit in the months ahead, partly because of what's happening in the agricultural commodities right now, partly what's happening with oil. And although it's been generally firm, remember we did have that spike at $80. What was it? I think that was back in last July. And then oil prices came off for a number of months. So I think we may well see some downward pressure in related to the change in oil prices, overall downward pressure on inflation, that is. And the main area of inflation, I think, remains the industrial metals, but that's not enough, I feel, to cause widespread inflation overall. Global GDP growth, or the global economy synchronized in a period of economic expansion, is almost always mildly inflationary by definition, but it's not as if we have extensive overheating here. A bit of overheating in China and India, but that's pretty much it. And I don't expect, although I expect inflation to move higher over the longer term, I don't expect too much bad news on the inflation front over the next few months. That's pretty much it, folks. Be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the best.